Welcome again to our studies on wisdom literature. As we've mentioned before, it basically comprises two books in Scripture. The book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, both written by King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Well, as we've said in our previous session, you know, the book of Proverbs could be divided basically into three parts. Proverbs 1 to 9 were the admonitions of King David to Solomon in his formative years. And very prophetic, because David could see, you know, what Solomon was like, and that if he didn't pay attention, he would turn aside to other women and the pleasures of this world. So he warned them against it. And then chapter 10 to chapter 24 is basically the Proverbs of Solomon that were recorded and written by him. And then Proverbs 25 to 31 were a collection of Proverbs made by King Hezekiah many years later. Now, as we've said before, we look at this portion from chapters 10 to actually chapters 31, and we see that really the way to study it is through topical studies. In other words, we take a topic and we study that through the various chapters. And so that's what we're going to do in this session. And the topic that we have chosen is strong drink, strong drink. Now then, obviously, we all have to drink, but it's what we drink that matters very much indeed. And I want to speak of the dangers of wine, the dangers of strong alcoholic beverage. And I want to start at the beginning of Scripture, almost, the life of Noah. Now, Noah lived in times that are very much like the times that we are living in the last days. In fact, the Lord draws our attention in his sermon on the second coming to the days of Noah. And what were the days of Noah like? Well, they were days of violence. They were days of mass corruption. They were days of great immorality. And God was so provoked with the standards of the lives of the people in those days that he regretted having made the human race. But there was one man who found favor in the sight of God, and that was Noah. And he said of Noah that he was perfect in his generation, one that hated evil and loved righteousness. And therefore Noah found grace in the sight of God. And the result was that God chose Noah to build an ark, to preserve him, his sons, daughters-in-law, wife, eight people, through the great devastation of the flood that covered the whole world. Well, we have Noah, who along with Daniel and Job, was one of the three most righteous people in the whole of the Old Testament period. And that is testified by the prophet Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 14. So here was Noah, Daniel, and Job, outstanding people. And Noah, therefore, was preserved, and he entered into the next dispensation. He came out of the ark with his sons, his daughter-in-law, his wife, and he planted, among other things, a vineyard. And the fruit of the vineyard, of course, is grapes. And unfortunately, he allowed them to ferment, with the result that he drank from the fruit of the vine strong alcoholic liquid. Well, what was the result? Regretfully, he became drunk. So drunk that he lay naked upon his bed. And you know, that's often what drunkenness does. People have no consciousness of the state in which they're in. And this man of integrity, this man of righteousness, here he was, laying naked upon his bed. And one of his sons came in, and that son was Ham, and apparently he had a sense of immorality and imprudence, and he went and told his brothers, and they took a blanket and they walked backwards. They didn't see the nakedness of their father and covered him. But Ham was not like that, and he was cursed. And from Ham comes Canaan and all the people of Africa and so forth. Well, that is not a very nice picture, is it? We see a man commended for his righteousness, his integrity. But then there is a blotch. There is a mark on his life. He is also known for the fact that he became drunken. Well, you know, later on in the book of Proverbs, we find in chapter 31 that there was a king of which we have no other record, but his name was Lemuel, and his mother gave him this admonition. She said, it is not for rulers, it is not for kings to drink strong liquid. It's not. Because in so doing, they will pervert judgment. They will ruin their lives. They will not keep the law. And that's a terrible thing about strong drink. It permeates the whole of one's being. In fact, it affects one's mind. One cannot think clearly, even after, you know, the drunkenness has gone away. It still affects the mind. It affects the organs of the body. And so this mother of a king said, you know, it's not for kings, it's not, my son, for kings, not for rulers, not for those in authority, to drink strong liquor, because they forget the law, they pervert judgment. Well, hopefully that king listened to what his mother said. But I want to speak of another king, a king of Judah, whose name was Jehoiakim. And in the prophet Hosea, we see a description of this king, and it is not a pretty picture. And I want to read from Hosea chapter 7 and verse 5. It says, in the day of our king, and here, you know, the prophet is almost lamenting these days. He says this, in the day of our king, who was Jeroboam the second, and also Jehoiakim. There were several kings, if I could say this, who were in this lamentable situation, and the princes around them, you know, gave him bottles of wine, and they made him sick, and he stretched out his hand with the scorners. And so here was a king, king of Israel, king of Judah. Several were in this position. In fact, a number of the kings were drunkards. But here is a picture of this king. And he's surrounded by his princes. And what do? They give him bottles of wine. And he constantly drinks. And he vomits up what he's drunk. Do you know, he still drank. And you know, in the Roman Empire, they got into these spates of drunkenness, and it was terrible. They wanted to eat, they wanted to drink and drink, and of course they got filled up with this drink. But you know what they did? They went over and stood at the balconies of their palaces, and their slaves will put a long reed with a feather on the end, and the masters would open their mouths, and the feather would tickle them and make them vomit. They vomited up what they had eaten and drunk, then they went back and drank more. Terrible thing. You know, I was in a situation recently, and a young girl had indeed been to a party and been drinking. And you know, she got so drunk that she went into a form of unconsciousness. But you know, she'd eaten and she'd drunk. And the result is she died in her own vomit. You know, drunkenness is very serious indeed. I want to recount a couple of other incidents. The fruit of drinking, strong drink. You know, in England, a fellow said to his wife, "Oh, come out with me. I'm going to be with the fellows and we'll have some fun." And the wife says, "No, I can't. I have to finish my ironing." So foolishly, she didn't go with her husband. Well, she waited for his return. Waited and waited for his return. He didn't return. Until a policeman knocked on the door and said, "Your husband is in prison. He's accused of murdering a policeman." What had happened is this fellow had then gone with his friends and they had got drunk. And then they had met a policeman. They had an altercation with the policeman, an argument with the policeman. And of course in England the policemen are unarmed, and they overpowered him and killed him in their drunkenness. Well, when did the wife next see her husband? In court, where he was sentenced to death. And in those days, you know, when the sentence of death is pronounced, then a clergyman has to come into the court and put a black square upon the wig of the judge. And then he pronounces the death sentence. There, the wife was crying. She said, "If only I had gone with my husband, I would not have allowed him to get drunk." Well, the next time she saw him was in prison just before his execution. And now she was wearing black herself because, you know, of that drunken orgy of her husband. Is that the only time? No. Coming to America, a wife brings her husband to a party. And he's in that party and everything's all right. And then he says, "Well, some of the fellows want to go to a tavern and there they want to drink a bit." But he said, "I should be very careful. I'll only have one or two glasses." Well, the wife said, "All right, you go." And he went. Well, what happened? The one or two went to three or four, five or six, and so forth. And then, you see, in a drunken state, there was a certain sense of violence. And there were arguments. And then he ran out of the tavern. Somebody pursued him. And he turned round and he killed that man. Well, the judge sent him to 25 years imprisonment for that. You see, drunkenness produces violence. It produces murder. And how dangerous that is. Your whole life ruined because of drinking too much. You know, people say, well, you know, I agree that if you get drunk, obviously that is not wisdom. But if I just do a little social drinking, you know, when other people go for a party and a glass of wine is offered to me and I sip it, you know, I shall be all right. Oh, really? You know what the book of Proverbs says? Wine is a mocker. It's a mocker. You know, you think you can control it. Oh, no, in the end it will mock you. You will find that an addiction forms and you must have a glass of wine. One leads to two, leads to three, leads to four, and so on. Yes, wine is a mocker. Now, of course, in the Word of God, it speaks much concerning this. I'm going to give you an example of a bank manager in England. A bank manager in England, you know, had to go to various social functions. And in these social functions, he was offered a glass of wine. And he thought, well, it won't matter. I'll take a glass of wine. But you see, one led to two and so forth. And he became addicted. Addicted to wine. But you see, wine has also offsprings, if I could say this. And you see, you lose a sense of reason. And the result is that he wanted greater things, better things through this wine. It gave him a sense of importance. It gave a sense of pride. And he wanted a higher life than his salary permitted. And so what he did, he got into debt. And then he went into gambling. And then in order to pay his gambling debts, he took from the bank. And then after a time, you see, realizing that he hadn't got enough money to pay back the bank to hide his crime, he then went to his relatives, and one of the relatives, a brother I knew who was our mayor, and who lived just a door or two away from us, very good friends, and he said, you know, my brother has come and he wants to borrow a substantial sum of money, and he said, well, he'd pay it back very soon. So he advanced this money. Well, when that money was finished, the next thing that this person did was to buy a revolver and through that revolver, shooting himself in the mouth, he committed suicide. Yes, it all started through social drinking, thinking, oh, it will do no harm. But the result was, it ended up in suicide. Yes, you say, well, these things don't matter. A little wine for the stomach's sake. You're quoting scripture there, aren't you? Well, that's been carefully researched. And there were two wines in the olden days. One that was fermented and one that was not fermented. And it was esteemed by Pliny and the other Roman historians that the unfermented wine was of superior quality to the fermented. And Paul is encouraging someone, Timothy, his son in the face, faith just to drink this unfermented wine that would do good to his stomach. He certainly didn't recommend him drinking alcohol. You know, alcohol is very dangerous. I used to be in France. And you know, there was a story told around France in the city that I was in. I was an assistant pastor there. And it was very interesting indeed. The cardinal archbishop of that city, you know, got out of his car, which he'd been chauffeured in with his secretary. Both dead drunk. They had been drinking at a certain social event, and here they were, absolutely dead drunk. Do you know what the cardinal archbishop said to his secretary? He said, if we believed what we preach, then we're going to the wrong place. In other words, drunkenness had even taken away from him the fear of God, the thought of eternity. You know, drunkards often say, well, I'll quit, you know, next time. But next time never comes. You see, it's a very sad situation. You know, this sense of drunkenness. And I think, you know, of the tragedy of many people in high places who have given themselves to drinking. I remember a certain prime minister of one of our Commonwealth nations, and I was in that nation, and they said to me, and I was talking to a wife of one of the cabinet ministers in that particular prime minister's government, and so it's very authentic. And this is what she said, you know, the ministers of the crown are so sick of the prime minister, but he comes in roaring drunk, hopelessly drunk, and the decisions he makes are ridiculous. And so we listen and we do what is right and disregard his, shall I say, admonitions. No, it's a very sad thing. You know, even great men like Winston Churchill, you know, drank and drank and drank and drank and drank. And at times they were quite incoherent. And whilst you might be an admirer of Winston Churchill, if you carefully study his life, you will find that he was preserved from making disastrous decisions in the war by his cabinet and by the army chief of staff at that time. You know, drunkenness takes away all reason. And you know, do we have to drink these things? It's very dangerous. You know, the Lord speaking in Matthew 24, after he has been asked, what are the signs of thy coming? He then tells the various events that must take place. And then after declaring the events that must take place prior to his coming, he then gives a warning, which is very formidable. He gives a warning of two servants. A good servant, that when the Lord comes, he finds him doing that which he was told to do. And the result will be, when the Lord returns, that he will say to that servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But then the Lord picks out another servant, a wicked servant, who said, my Lord delayeth his return. And then this servant begins to drink with the drunkards. And the result is that he beats his fellow servants. And when the Lord comes at a time when he expects not, the Lord condemns him and condemns him to be with the hypocrites. You know, there is an awesome warning in the Word of God that those that give themselves to wine will end up in the company of strange women. They will end up with prostitutes. And that is true, that those who inhabit taverns also are the prey of prostitutes and pickpockets and the like. And you know what King Solomon says? The house of those prostitutes is the gateway to hell. Oh, I would exhort you, stay away from strong liquor. Saint Augustine said this, it's easier to be abstemious than to be temperate. In other words, it's far easier not to drink than to try and be temperate. And may God grant that you will stay away from strong drink so that you will have a happy family and so that your money will not be wasted and it will be put to profitable use, and at the end of your life you'll have a good name as one who was not a drunkard, but one who walked in the pathway of righteousness and sobriety. God bless you.